Our scripture reading today comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 30. This is a people's choice scripture. Someone asked me to preach Romans 8:28, and that person is not here today. So that's why it's important. Oh, I thought it was Heather Lyons. Okay, all right, so you are here. I think the hymns you requested are later in the summer. So you have to come all summer to hear everything that you wanted. Okay. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it in hope. That the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Everyone noticed that the sign is empty. All right. In a recent issue of Tracy Talks, I told you about a Facebook Live webinar hosted by the Christian Church Disciples of Christ National Benevolent Association. The guests were two pastors from California. Pastors Dana and Sandia shared their stories of growing churches into remarkable witnesses in their community. Pastor Dana Bainbridge is pastor of First Christian Church in San Jose. FCC San Jose is a very small church, was a very small church, which opened a recovery cafe as a place of healing and recovery for those with addiction, homelessness, and mental health challenges. Since its opening in 2014, the cafe has helped hundreds of neighbors reach such goals as family reunification and achieving stability through gaining housing and employment. The church started with a vision of a cafe. They sent a committee of people to meet with a similar cafe in Washington State. FCC San Jose prayed and decided that they were going to go for it. They were going to open that cafe and invest their resources in recovery ministry. The city of San Jose wanted to give the church a grant to help them with the expenses of renovating their fellowship hall for the cafe. The church was faced with a tough decision. If they accepted the grant, the new space could not be used for church functions, meaning they would have no space to do funeral dinners. The church prayed, and they decided to accept the grant. FCC San Jose decided that their mission was recovery ministry, and that the occasional funeral dinner was no longer part of their mission. The church made necessary decisions to dedicate their resources to this ministry, even when it meant letting go of other important ministries. Dedication and commitment to a vision helped transform their church and their neighbors. And the Disciples Mission First movement is full of stories about churches who have been transformed because they chose the vision of the church. They invested in mission and were willing to make tough choices to stay focused on what God was calling them to do. We were faced with a similar decision about the mission of the church this spring, and things kind of unraveled. In March, we were set to start English as a second language classes, and these classes were a part of the vision that had been cast by the congregation. There were months of prayer and planning by the board and the elders. We had a congregational retreat to share ideas about serving our neighbors. And out of that work and that retreat, I created a brochure full of ministries that you had wanted to do to help your neighbors based on the things that they told you we needed or the community needed. The elders and the board reviewed and approved the vision brochure, which included the classes. There was concern about moving forward with these classes, and the issue was presented to the elders. The elders decided to move forward with the classes. But there was a great sense of grief over that decision because they felt like they were choosing strangers over friends. The decision wasn't a bold move forward with the vision and mission of the church. It was not made with celebration and gladness for God's future for this church. It was made with heavy hearts. I haven't been here long, but I've been listening. And church people tend to talk a lot about the church. They talk about the people. They talk about the past. They talk about the good and the bad. You talk. And I've been listening. And I've discerned during my time here that this is not the first time you've come to this crossroads. There seems to be a pattern in the church. And I think this is about the third time now. The church decides it wants to do more outreach. You pray and you plan and you get ready, and then something happens. People get upset, people leave, people get scared, and you stop what you had planned to do. You regroup and you rebuild the fellowship, and then when things calm down, you decide you want to do more outreach. And so you pray and you plan and you get ready, and then something happens. And people get upset, and people leave, and people get scared, and you stop what you had planned to do. And you regroup, and you rebuild the fellowship. And so here you are, trying to regroup and hold together the fellowship. And you're faced with the decision about your outreach ministry again. You want to be a church that does outreach. You want to serve your neighbors, and you want to be a generous and welcoming community. And you are. That's already who you are. Some of you want to do more. Some of you are content with what you do and think that it is a lot, and it is. Some of you want to continue to do what you do. And some want to do different things. So you're left with two questions. Are we content with who we are and what we do? Or are you going to be a different kind of church and do more than you do? Are you going to try and be a different church and do more than you do? This is the question that you usually answer yes to. And then it doesn't go as planned. If you decide to say yes to this question this time, you need to be willing to follow through with the plans and be willing to make tough choices to let go of things that don't serve your mission, even if it means nickels and noses go walking. Are you content with who you are and what you do? This is the question that's hard to say yes to, but there is dignity in saying yes to this question. If you are happy with who you are and you are happy with what you do, that may be life-affirming to confess. The Roman 8 text is about enduring suffering through to God's future glory. Paul says God uses all of the bad stuff to make good. So let me be clear. I don't think God makes bad stuff happen for us to learn. I don't think he makes us suffer trials in order for us to grow. I think bad stuff just happens. That's part of this life. It's part of living with sinners and being a sinner ourselves, making bad choices, being the one who suffers the consequences of other bad choices. God makes use of that suffering for our gain. We grow in times of trial. There is beauty from ashes, and that is God making sense of this broken world we live in. The grace of your story is that God has been with you through these crises and as you have been searching for your identity. God has been with you as you keep coming back around to these questions. God hasn't given up on you. God keeps telling you, make a choice. Say yes to something. Decide who you are and follow through. He has celebrated your successes. He has grieved when you grieve, and he has come back to this place with you and anticipates your answer. Are you going to be a different kind of church and do more than you do? Are you going to be content with who you are and what you do? God wants you to say yes to one of these questions and own it. God is going to be with you regardless of which question you answer yes. God is going to be with you if you choose to expand your reach, and God is going to be with you if you choose to be content. God has a beautiful future for you regardless of which question you answer yes. But you have to say yes and mean it. You can't keep coming back to these questions. This is probably your last chance to answer these questions. Not with God, but with yourself. If you choose to expand your reach, you have to follow through. You have to be bold in your witness. You have to decide what your mission is and do it. If you don't follow through, there are a lot of people here who aren't going to give you a second chance. If you choose to be who you are and content with what you do, own it. Be you, and don't let anyone try to convince you that that is not good enough. That accident that happened Wednesday night seems rather serendipitous. You have an empty marquee frame. There's a space for a new message at a time when you are faced with a question of who are we? There's space for for you to answer that question and tell your community, this is who we are. What message do you want to have for your neighbors about who you are? Now is the time to make the decision. Amen.